shot and killed 17-year-old Trayvon Martin. The organization then gained widespread attention in 2014 when Ferguson police officer Darren Wilson shot and killed 18-year-old Mike Brown. And there's more names and more instances we know. Quickly becoming a hashtag, Black Lives Matter now has wide-ranging support throughout our entertainment, our political, our educational, and even our local government areas. Floyd. Me to look at this together is really the recent death of George Floyd. Under the knee of white police officer Derek Chauvin, coupled with the fatal shooting of Walter Scott and Rayshard Brooks, both by white police officers. Given the circumstances surrounding these three instances, it is understandable, it is absolutely understandable why the black community in our nation feels tremendous outrage and tremendous hurt. It is also understandable given how these number of cases, not just one or two isolated events, but a number of cases now for the past several years now, these cases of the overuse of force, they can be reasonably linked together and argued to be a pattern. This is a pattern. If it happens once or twice, it happens once or twice. If it keeps happening, it's a pattern. And that pattern of those of these tragic events, as they keep happening, the pattern just keeps reinforcing the narrative of systemic racism. So it keeps reinforcing that narrative the more we see this happening. It builds a stronger case for critical theory, which we don't believe is true. So if Black Lives Matter is simply a unified call and a demand to stop using needless, fatal force, and to hold renegade police officers and rogue vigilantes accountable, if that's all that it is, then we as believers could and should stand with that movement. We read in Isaiah, we've looked at these passages for the previous 2 weeks in Isaiah and James, we are to seek justice. We are to correct oppression. That's from the Bible, not from any secular organization. That's what God calls us to do as believers. And by the way, the officer who held his knee on George Floyd's neck long after he had passed out, and these officers who needlessly shot and killed Walter Scott and Rayshard Brooks, they have all been charged with murder. That's a very important point to make. Justice is being served. The message being sent is clear. If you enforce the law, that doesn't mean you are above the law. That message is clear. However, the question still lingers. If there had been no videos, would the outcome be the same? That's where the really hard questions come. That's where the really hard work begins. The problem with the Black Lives Matter movement is that it's not solely a push to end police and vigilante violence directed at black people. That's not what it is solely about. That's how it gains its support. That's what it seems to be. That's what it's promoted at times to appear to be. The problem with Black Lives Matter is the rest of the movement, the rest of what is added to its stated goals and agenda, which are in direct conflict with Scripture. So as Christians, what are we to think about Black Lives Matter? The first thing that we can say, absolutely say, as believers, the statement is absolutely true. And we can wholeheartedly affirm it. The statement taken by itself, standing alone, is absolutely biblically true. Black lives matter. And I know that blue lives matter. And that is absolutely true. Blue lives matter. And I know that all lives matter. That is absolutely true. All lives matter. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with singling out a specific group when you are seeking to address and correct injustices that are occurring with that specific group. For example, we would say, we would pull out a single group of human beings and we would say, unborn lives matter. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't believe all lives matter. It doesn't mean that we don't believe blue lives matter. It just means there is a singular group in our society that is being targeted. Unborn lives matter. In the same way, if you watch the 8-minute video of George Floyd's death while under arrest, you can say without any qualification, Black lives matter. We as believers can and should wholeheartedly affirm that sentence. And here's why. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Again, we as believers, we go to the Bible, not to the current climate, not to the cultural mood, not to the sway of popular opinion, not to the way we feel about it. We go to the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Every single black man, woman, and child have been created by God in his image to reflect his glory. They, along with every other human being, therefore have intrinsic worth, value, and dignity. As we studied Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night, we studied Psalm 139:14, one of our treasure verses. We studied that together, and as we learned then, black lives are made by God. They are made by God fearfully and wonderfully. They are fearfully and wonderfully made by God to give Him praise. They are made for, created for His glory. That's the first book of the Bible. We can look at the last book of the Bible and see an even further point why Black Lives Matter. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10 says this, speaking of Christ, singing to Christ, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Not only has God created black lives in His own image, Genesis 1:27. He sent His Son to die for black lives, to save them eternally, Revelation 5:9 and 10. He has created them. He has saved them. Again, the gospel is the answer to racism. The gospel is the answer for racial reconciliation. If you want to see racial reconciliation, look at Revelation 5, 9 and 10. But that kind of racial harmony and the end of racism only comes through the gospel, because the problem is sin. The problem is not the system. The problem is sin. And only the gospel transforms the sinner into a saint. Transforms the hater into a lover of God and lover of others. In glory, in heaven, in eternity, there will be no racism. And there will be harmony and unity between diverse peoples and ethnicities like you have never imagined. That's heaven. That's where God is saving us, sanctifying us, keeping us, preserving us, and taking us into glory, where there is tremendous diversity and tremendous harmony. In the absence of any sin. So yes, on this earth, the church then, we are to be working towards that end. What heaven looks like is what the church should look like. We're to be working towards that end through the preaching and living of the gospel of Christ. Simply put, for us as believers, black lives matter because black lives matter to God. So we can affirm the statement. The problem for us as believers, though, is that the sentence, black lives matter, is no longer only a sentence. It's not a singular issue of addressing abuse of authority. It's a movement that has an agenda that is deeply biblically flawed in its purpose, in its vision, and in its agenda. So we affirm the statement, but secondly, the movement is anti-Christian. Therefore, as believers, we must avoid it. We must not take part in the movement. Now, for the past two Sundays, we've been evaluating the ideology of critical theory. We've been looking at it, evaluating it from Scripture. Critical theory is a call, just quick recap, it's a call for moral and cultural revolution that will totally transform the entire nation. That's the agenda. It's not just an idea. It's not just a political theory. It's an agenda. It means to have a revolution. That's the end for which it is seeking. The oppressed groups that must be liberated, and they are only liberated if you tear down all institutions of oppression. If you remove the current system, and these oppressed groups would be non-white, female, homosexual, transgender, etc., etc. The problem then is, just to recap what we've been talking about for 2 weeks, critical theory fails to understand or acknowledge the biblical doctrine of original sin. The issue is sin, wherever it might be found. And therefore, if you don't look at it as sin, then you miss the entire biblical solution of salvation and of our Savior Jesus Christ, and of new life in Him, transformed hearts in Him, changed lives in Him. The Black Lives Matter movement is founded on and operates under the guidelines and the teachings of critical theory. That's its basis. And that's its call for action. That's its agenda. It's operating on critical theory, which in itself is opposed to scriptural truth. So I'm going to read some statements from the Black Lives Matter website just to get an idea of, just to hear how critical theory is influencing and operating, how the Black Lives Matter movement is operating under critical theory. In their What We Believe section, here are a few things. First of all, they say Black Lives Matter began as a call to action in response to state-sanctioned violence and anti-black racism. The impetus for that commitment was and still is the rampant and deliberate violence inflicted on us by the state. So again, we're looking at the system. We're looking at the institutions. Instead of a case-by-case search for truth and justice, the individual cases of wrongdoing, these instances that have occurred, these individual cases are used to support the critical theory that the entire system is corrupt. And that's where you get the term systemic racism. It's not just that individuals, different individuals, may or may not have racism in their hearts. It's that the entire system is racist, is structured that way. So it's not a situation that you have a handful of cops who have operated wrongfully and even evilly, but it's the entire system. So there's a total dismissal of the hundreds and hundreds of police officers who are honest, sincere, fair, law-abiding, working to save and protect. That's totally dismissed. This is state-sanctioned violence. Black Lives Matter say of the police officers, they don't protect us, they take our lives. That's not true. There have been individual cases where individual cops have abused their authority and they have been found, they are being charged with murder. That's what's happened, but the police officers of the United States do not go out with the agenda to take black lives. It's not true. In these documents, the case of Mike Brown is mentioned often. They say here, Ferguson helped to catalyze a movement. We are in search of justice for Mike Brown. And the problem there, again, is not taking cases individually and searching for truth and justice in each individual case. Because the case of Mike Brown and the case of George Floyd are two totally different cases. They don't go together. They're not the same thing. Hands up, don't shoot was proven by investigation after investigation after investigation that it did not happen. Mike Brown tried to take the gun from the police officer. Later, he turned around and tried to run him down. He was found by several investigations at different levels that he shot Mike Brown in self-defense. That's not an example of systemic racism. But George Floyd is another case entirely. That's a problem. That's a video that's hard to watch. But you've got to make the distinctions. If you really want truth and justice, you have to make the distinctions. Something else from this statement, showing that they're going beyond just these cases of injustice. We are self-reflexive and do the work required to dismantle cisgender privilege. Remember what that means, that you claim to be the gender that you were biologically born with. That's being cisgender. Remember all these groups of oppression. Here they are saying, Black Lives Matter, we do the work required to dismantle cisgender privilege and uplift Black trans folk, especially Black trans women. There's intersectionality. Remember we talked about that. Who continue to be disproportionately, there it is, if you have more of these things, then you're oppressed more, impacted by trans antagonistic violence. Again, you see the language there, dismantle. And the movement to uplift trans folk. I'll go on and list some more things and we'll address that. Another statement, we disrupt, so dismantle, disrupt, we disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. You hear that? Western prescribed nuclear family structure. We're going to disrupt that structure. But again, as we talked about last week, is that Western prescribed or is that biblically prescribed? Adam, Eve, father, mother, children, nuclear family. Another statement, we foster a queer affirming network. So see, this is beyond cases like George Floyd, Trayvon Martin. We foster a queer affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip, there's the oppression, the tight grip of heteronormative thinking. So, here's some issues here. Working to normalize sinful behavior such as homosexuality and transgenderism is not liberation. If every restraint against sin is removed, you won't find freedom. Sin only brings death. Steal, kill, and destroy. The gospel is the answer. We love the homosexual. Church? Nobody's saying amen. We love the homosexual. We love the transgender. No one should be bullied. No one should be mistreated. But we love them to Christ. We love them with the gospel. That's where they find liberation. That's where they find life. That's where they find freedom. That's under the what we believe section. Under their call for action, there's three things. On their website, they call for these three things. End systemic racism. There it is. It's the whole system. It's not individuals that may have hate in their heart or that may just be mean people. It might not be racism at all. It might just be that this white guy is a mean person and he hurts everybody. It's hard to prove racism. Unless you got a stack of, you know, KKK magazines or something in your closet or something. But the call is to end systemic racism. That is, go after the system, the entire system, the institutions are racist in their structure. Second call, a national defunding of police. They've laid out a 5-year plan to defund all police nationwide because they are the issue. They are the problem. The entire system. State-sanctioned violence. It's not just one or two. The whole thing has to go. Revolution. New system. Third thing, demand investment in our communities and the resources to ensure black people not only survive but thrive. There you have redistribution of wealth, socialism. In recent days, there's been an outbreak of violence in Brooklyn against Jewish people. Black people attacking Jewish people in Brooklyn. And when they were interviewed on the street, some African Americans were interviewed there in Brooklyn. What's going on? What's happening? The statements were made, the Jews own all the buildings here and they're not giving us anything. They're not sharing what they have with us. So we attack them. Summary statement in their call to action is this. Our fight for liberty, justice, and freedom continues. Together we can and will transform. This is the revolution. That's their word. This is the revolution. Change is coming. You hear all the Marxist language and all of the critical theory language throughout. Recently, the Greater New York Black Lives Matter president was interviewed and he stated this, if this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it. That's Marxism. That's classical Marxism. Critical theory. The Black Lives Matter movement is far removed from the civil rights movement of the 60s. It's a totally different thing. The civil rights movement was headed by mostly pastors, and it upheld biblical principles. They were arguing for civil rights based on text like Genesis 1:27. They were saying, you can't treat us this way. We are created by God, just like you are. The Black Lives Matter movement is founded by activists who have no tolerance for orthodox Christian principles regarding the family, sexuality, gender, individual responsibility, and the call to reach the heart. You have to reach the heart. Revolutions do not change people. The only thing that changes people is the gospel. Now, I love this statement by Martin Luther King. We talked about him last week. He said in 1967, he said these words, "Let us be dissatisfied until the day when nobody will shout white power, when nobody will shout black power, but everybody will talk about God's power and human power." We can say amen right there, can't we? The Black Lives Matter movement is in direct opposition to the heart of a civil rights movement. That's not their understanding of power. That's not their agenda with power. And more importantly, they are in opposition to Scripture. So I want to conclude with just a couple of calls to brothers and sisters in Christ. First of all, maybe by chance, out there in the World Wide Web, an African-American brother or sister in Christ may listen to this sermon. So I would say to my black brothers and sisters in Christ, whenever and wherever injustice occurs against black people, and whenever or wherever racism raises its ugly head, we as believers will stand with you to seek justice and correct oppression. God commands us to do so. We will stand for truth. We will seek to win our neighbors with the gospel, for it is only the gospel that ultimately changes people and thus changes the culture and thus corrects the system. But I would also urge my African American brothers and sisters, you do not have to compromise your Christian conviction and biblical truth in this fight. You do not have to join a movement just because it says Black Lives Matter, if in fact it's more than that, that's against what we believe is true. God will bring justice on every front and on every count, every single one. If we fail to distinguish between actual injustice and individual sin, we will lose the gospel, and that is our only hope. My white brothers and sisters, now there's a number of you here tonight. We have been guilty at times by not speaking up, by trying our best to justify unjustifiable behavior. We have been too slow to demand truth. We've been too neglectful in reaching out. We've been too proud to walk in our neighbor's shoes. Oftentimes we disregard the perception and the feeling and the observation of our black brothers and sisters simply because we have never lived one day in their shoes. It's past time to speak, to serve, to love, to befriend. God created all people. God, Christ died to save all peoples. Wherever we find a sliver or ounce of racism or bigotry in our hearts, we will repent. On the other hand, we will not apologize for being white. God made us white for His glory. But we will not live as though being white is our value and worth. Our identity is Christ. Our worth and value is in our Creator. We are not about this or that race. We are about the gospel. We are about the Word of God. We are about salvation. We are about eternal life. God made red and yellow and black and brown for His glory. God made us all. We will love our neighbor. We will do so by speaking for those who cannot speak for themselves, standing with those who need justice. But more importantly, we will love our neighbor by living the gospel, speaking the gospel, lovingly sharing the truth of Scripture, no matter the outcome or consequence. It's worth it. It's worth it to see one soul loosened from the chains of deception and sin and set free in Christ, no matter what it cost us, no matter what it cost me. Heaven looks like all people before the throne. We're going to work and labor and pray and deny and pick up our cross so that we can see more of heaven here on the earth. And lastly, to my black and white brothers and sisters in Christ, we will not take part in protest built on lies because we hold to truth. We will not support movements at odds with Scripture that promise freedom while leading people to eternal chains. There's too much at stake. We will not riot and destroy property and loot and call for revolution as if the ends justifies the means. But we will be peacemakers. We will be agents of mercy. We will love one another unconditionally as God in Christ loves us. We will forgive just as God in Christ has forgiven us. And we will proclaim the gospel that not only gives life here and now, but life everlasting and full of glory. That's the answer. A Christian view of Black Lives Matter. Let's pray.
You have been listening to the sermon ministry of Will Owens, pastor of Grassy Pond Baptist Church, Yaphley, South Carolina. Be sure to visit willowens.com to hear more sermons, read blogs, and learn more about the missions branch P67 Missions. Again, thank you for listening to Will Owens.